Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Everybody, and welcome to the Wild Card Weekend edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and on UltimateSports.com. This is truly another NFL Wild Weekend with surprises and cool plays to chat about. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys just went up over Detroit, and they just got a touchdown. And right now, everything is absolutely positively crazy in the NFL world. So we will keep you all tuned with how this game plays out. But I am your host today, Nkeshi Free, along with my co-host, Erica Lynn Anderson. And we have joining us today the wonderful, fabulous, and founder and head boss in charge, Oscar Lopez. Unfortunately, our other co-host, Eric Brown, is not here today. Eric, you are truly missed because we would love your insight this weekend. So clearly, we have a great show today. Joining us, we have the wonderful, talented, and my fellow homegirl, Carly Harmon, from the Together We Make Football contest finalist. So before we do that, though, I would like to take a minute and also acknowledge that today the sports industry lost an icon, and I have to, you know, acknowledge the passing of the late, great Stuart Scott, rest in peace. Prayers and thoughts are with Stuart, his family, the ESPN family, and basically the entire sports world. I don't know about everybody else, but I know for me, as someone, you know, up and comer in the sports industry, he's been a true visionary and a pioneer. So, Stuart, thank you for all that you have done to open doors, and you will truly be missed. So, going back to football and what's going on, hi, Oscar. Hi, Erica. How are you guys doing this weekend?
I'm good.
Fantastic.
How are you?
On pins and needles, as you guys can imagine. So.
Yes,
we were wondering if you were going to make it today or not.
Really? Oh, no. I'm here. I don't know how much voice I'm going to have because I promise that I've been screaming, and I have really tried my best to not use all my voice, but I was not going to miss being with my favorite fam on air. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know, the Cowboys have shown at the beginning a kind of a stroke mode, but now, you know, the last quarter year they've come around, and I think that's impressive.
Stroke is perfect.
Yeah.
Stroke is the perfect word to describe them. So as of right now, the score is 24-20, and it's ironic you call it stroke mode because a couple years ago, I started calling them the cardiac kids. I said, because good Lord, my pressure, I can't take it.
Yeah, you got to give it out to that. You got to give it out to that kid, Beasley. I got took a hit. Man, that boy got up. He was good.
Yeah.
That was
yes.
Massive hit, but. He was tough cookie right there, tough cookie.
Man, right, because Beasley's 5'8", and I'm 5'8". So I'm just literally imagining me being 5'8". I don't think, you know, of course, yes, I am a female, but still, 5'8", I know how short he is, you know. And, uh-oh, we got a player down. 54 is a little woozy and shaken up. But not outside of the Cowboys and the Lions. And I have to say, Matthew Stafford is playing his butt off. I have got to give him credit. He is truly managing this team. He is moving the ball. He's making great passes, great plays. And I really and truly can't say enough about how well Matthew Stafford has played in this game today. Oh, it's Carter. Oh,
yeah,
well, we're only gonna
see a better game. I think ultimately next week, depending on who wins here. Either way, the matchups are going to be great. You know, whether Dallas goes to Green Bay or whether the Lions overcome and go to, I believe, Seattle. So either way, the matchup next week is going to be huge.
Oh my God, it was a fumble.
Yeah.
Dallas just then we lost it again.
The games will be certainly interesting next week to watch that.
Well, speaking of games that we watched, what did you guys think about the Panthers and the Cardinals game?
Yeah, I thought for sure that Arizona was not ready because they didn't have a stable quarterback. They had some decent team play, but overall, I think they just came in underhanded, especially with no leadership at the quarterback position, and I think that was their doing.
I think so, too. That's what I think, too. And I actually read that in the offseason, the Cardinals might be looking to trade Larry Fitzgerald, which I actually hope they do because he really deserves a shot at a good team and a Super Bowl.
Hey, Brady would love to take him, so send him over our way for sure.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine Larry Fitzgerald and Tom Brady together? Oh, that's
scary.
A scary thought. Well,
yeah,
scary for me,
is.
Great for you.
Yeah, I know.
I literally can't even begin to imagine. But yeah, that's the word on the street right now. Before we get ready to go into the no joke football huddle and Erica takes us there, was there any other games that just really, got you guys by surprise or anything else that stood out to you? What about Ravens Steelers?
That didn't surprise me because with Le'Veon Bell being out, I knew the Steelers would struggle because it really put a lot of pressure on Roethlisberger to make those completions. And, it put the game more squarely on his shoulders. And so it didn't surprise me really at all that they lost, when Le'Veon Bell was ruled out.
No, me neither. And the thing that I had consistently said was that Ben Roethlisberger is so talented, but he's also inconsistent and shaky. And I said he's prone to injury. And sure enough, there you go with the game on the line. You've got what I think was 7 minutes left in the game, and you've got to take him out because of a potential concussion injury. And that was the one thing that I thought.
I think Pittsburgh overall with an up and down Heckle and Jekyll season, and this was the downfall of it. At the end, it was just too little too late for them to kind of muster something. And then, like Erica's point, when Bell wasn't available, that just a big chunk of running game that they don't have, and that was really the difference there against the Ravens.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Well, so that was actually a perfect lead-in. So, Erica, do you want to go ahead and take us into the No Joke Football Huddle?
Yes. So you can go to the No Joke Football Shop today at Zazzle.com/Green Arrow Beauties. And you can order your project apparel, like leggings, hoodies, full tees. Last week I told you guys how you can customize the apparel, use your team colors. It's so awesome. I love it. I love getting on there and creating things. You can order them. So get geared up. I don't know about you guys, but it's very cold where I live. Leggings are nice to wear under jeans and other things to exercise in, so definitely go check it out. We want to thank everyone for making us the number one trusted source on social media for covering women's gridiron football 24/7. We say it time and again, we need to get the word out that women can play no joke football. And you guys are doing that by supporting us and tuning in and retweeting and all of that, so we really appreciate it. Over 12,000 fanatics and followers strong supporting our Women's Tackle Football Awareness Project. So, again, thank you. And we are coming to Canada. 2015 is here. So that is really exciting. You'll want to stay tuned. And a reminder that every sale of the No Joke Football brand goes to help another player get noticed and recognized internationally. through our photo shoots and social media platforms. We want to thank all of our photographers and people that are involved in that, that help us out with that. I love seeing the pictures on Facebook, so you guys will want to go check out Grand Beauty's Facebook page because they put those photos up, and they're so much fun. Just like Queensland MVP, the two-time champion, Christy Moran of the Logan City Jets, Lauren Evans of the Gold Coast Stingrays, and Sam Gordon in the States have all been featured on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by our talented photographers. So this month we will have another no-joke football shoot with more talented players from Gridiron Australia, Queensland, by none other than the talented Lisa Thomas of CL Photography. So definitely be on the lookout. Go there now to Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties to get your gear and help us bring awareness that girls can play American football. And their game is, of course, No Joke Football. You can keep up to date on college football playoffs by following at GrandGirl.org for updates from our writers and bowl results and just all the different things we post on there. So you'll definitely want to check us out. Go ahead, Kishi.
All right. Well, everyone, again, thank you, Erica, for that wonderful information about the No Joke Football Huddle and about the leggings. And now it is time to get into the huddle sponsored by Zazzle.com. And also, don't forget, it's two-minute drill week. So it takes just 2 minutes to vote daily for our guest today, QB Carly Harmon, for her chance to go to the Super Bowl. The last day to vote is today. Again, the last day to vote is today. So please go visit www.togetherwemakefootball.com/and vote. Again, please, we want to send Carly to the big game. So speaking of Carly, she is here today with us. Hi, Carly. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we are great. I told everybody off air, but for those who don't know, I do live here in the D.C. area, and I actually grew up in Fairfax County. And, Carly, you are in Loudoun County, right?
Yes.
And right. So Carly and I are county neighbors. So I grew up, like I said, in Fairfax, and she is over there in Loudoun County, two counties away from where I grew up. And I just have to say congrats to my homegirl. I am really, really proud of you and all that you have accomplished.
Thank you
so much. Oh, you're welcome. So have you watched the games this weekend? What stood out for you?
I've actually had a few times to watch the games, but I actually have been away for basketball. So as much as I wanted to watch the games, I couldn't watch them as much.
Oh, very nice. Do you play ball? What position do you play?
I switch off with point guard and shooting guard.
Oh, nice. So you got ball. Well, that actually makes sense. Considering you're a female quarterback, you clearly have some managing skills and probably really good hand-eye coordination.
Yes.
Very nice. So have you guys started your season yet for basketball, or are you guys still in practice?
Yeah, we actually started about a month ago.
Oh, very nice. What's your record so far for your team?
We are 2-11, I think.
Okay, very nice. Very, very nice. Well, ironically, we also have that in common, along with being neighbors. I also played basketball growing up.
Oh, really?
But I played center, and I played for SYC as well as I played for my high school team on the girls' freshman team. I played for Robert E. Lee High School. So, go female athletes. We totally rock. What do you think about the results? Who do you think is going – I'm just going to ask you, who do you think is going to the big game? Who do you think, if you get voted and you get the chance to go to the Super Bowl, who do you think you're going to see?
I definitely think I'm going to see the Cowboys. And honestly, I'm not sure about the other team. Maybe the Eagles. Maybe.
Well, unfortunately, luckily for us, we knocked the Eagles out. But I'm thinking from the AFC side, so you're going to make Erica happy if you tell her you're going to see the Patriots. So you make me happy if you say the Cowboys. You make Erica happy if you say it's going to be the Patriots. And then neither one of us are going to be happy because our teams will be playing each other. So tell us a little bit about how all of this got started in terms of how you – submitted to, be in the top three runnings. How did you submit? How did you, tell us a little bit about how you got your name up there.
So I actually had to write this paragraph about why I love football, and it was out of 10,000 submissions. And
wow.
They said, they said if they call you back, then they'll be interested in your story. So one day I got a call, and they said, you know, interested in your story and everything. And so from there on, then the NFL Films came and filmed me. And then at one point, RG3 surprised me and actually told me that I was a finalist for the Together We Make Football competition.
Oh, very nice. I saw that on USA Today. So, again, for everybody who knows, Carly, are you a diehard Redskins fan?
I do love the Redskins because I'm from Loudoun County, but I was born in New Jersey, so that's why it says on my paper I'm a Giants fan, because I was born in New Jersey, but now since I moved here, I live here my whole life, so it's kind of both.
Okay. And that happens because this area is very huge for being transplants, and a lot of people do relocate here, and a lot of people actually do that. You know, they have their home team from where they came from, and then a lot of people tend to pick up the Redskins or one of the other local sports teams as their favorite team. So that's actually really cool. So how was it meeting RG3? Is he as nice in person as he looks on camera?
Meeting RG3 is honestly amazing. And yes, RG3 is a very, very nice and kind guy. He's very nice.
And I've actually heard that a lot of, about him, that he's, really, really nice, very easygoing, and that he actually has a really nice personality. So that's really good to hear.
Yeah, he really is.
So now in the film, we saw you throwing the football. We saw Alfred Morris and we saw RG3. Okay, now you got to give us the scoop. What was that like being at Redskins Park and being able to throw the ball to those amazing athletes?
It was honestly amazing. Like, it felt like a dream come true, really.
Awesome. That is so cool. So we know now you clearly do football. Now you're the quarterback and you're also the punter?
Yes, I am, and kicker.
Nice. Okay, so what's the longest you've ever kicked a field goal?
Maybe 60.
You've kicked a 60-yard field goal?
Or 50.
Oh, 50. Oh, that's still amazing. That is so awesome. So before so to not monopolize everything, Erica, Oscar, do you guys have any questions for Carly?
Carly, I read your essay, your submission, and I just loved it. I mean, you can't even tell, one, that you're 14 years old. You seem very mature beyond your years. And I just loved how you how you talk about that you're a girl who plays football, but that you're more than that. And your essay was just about your team. And it really shows to me that's why you're the quarterback, is that is the quarterback's job, is to really be there for the team and to kind of support it. And I just want to commend you on that, first of all, because I loved reading your essay. It was fantastic. I can see why you were one of the finalists. So I'm curious as to, has of all this attention, has it been difficult for you?
I wouldn't say difficult. Every day is kind of a new challenge because, some people will either hate or some people will really enjoy your success. But honestly, there's been a lot more lovers and haters, I guess you could say. So it's honestly been just a wonderful journey that I've been put in.
Oh, that's cool. I only ask that question because I tend to be a little shy, so I think I might have a heart attack if I had to go on TV or something. So I was curious as to how that aspect has been, over this whole thing.
Yeah, I actually love going on TV and stuff like that.
Do you? Nice. Well,
yeah.
That's, again, probably why you're the quarterback, because they need to be able to command attention. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
Oscar, you have any?
Yeah, Carly, we had the great Christmas pic that you sent us, and we really appreciate that. I was interacting with your mom on Facebook, and she was telling me you have a very heavy schedule, so you're a multi-sport girl at this point. So how do you keep your, your balance state? What's your routine to kind of keep everything, zone out of, like you said, some of the negativity or in that sense?
Well, I don't really focus on the negativity that people give me, because honestly, it makes me stronger as a person and makes me want to prove them more right. So really all the positive people, I really love all their feedback, and it really just helps me go forward with all my success and go forward with everything that I'm doing.
Great. And I really appreciate you guys supporting our project. And I know we sent out some, the gear for you to sport out, and you look amazing
in
that photo
nice.
You guys took with the tree. So that was really nice of you to do that for us. What do you do
for fun?
I mean, is there a particular music? Every quarterback has something to unwind, but I know when I was playing football, music was kind of a driven force for me to get ready for, for the game. So is there something specific you do before you get on the game, either basketball or football?
Before I get on the game, I do listen to music. I get my beats and I listen to my favorite songs or songs that really pump me up.
So your playlist includes?
It's a lot of rap, to be honest. Rap is my favorite kind of music.
My girl, do you have a favorite artist?
Honestly, I can't pick a favorite because I like so many different artists, but if I had to pick, a genre, it'd definitely be rap.
Okay. Are you more new school or old school hip-hop?
Excuse me?
Are you more old school or new school hip-hop?
Oh, new school.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys have any other questions?
Yeah, I was going to ask Carly... If she's obviously having the Carly, you have helping the vets out. Can you tell us a little bit about how that started and what's your goal right now with that venture? I know I saw it on there where you're helping out some of the veterans.
Actually, in my first football season, we had a game at a vet sports football game. The vet sports were playing and we had to play during halftime. While the vet sports are playing, and it really just hits me how, they still strive to be their best and play sports, even though all they've been through, and how much they really helped us and helped our country. And so I went home that night, and me and my mom were thinking of a way to help them, and so I started my own business called Cardio by Carly, and every portion of the sale that goes to Vet Sports Foundation, which is really awesome. Because I know that I get to help the vets.
That is amazing.
Wow, that's awesome. And are you continuing that at this point as you go forward as well, or is it something that's going to be just short term?
Well, no, I'll definitely continue helping them.
Now, Erica said you're just 14. Do you have an idea of where you want to go to college yet, or is that something that's still a little far off away for you right now?
I was thinking about Baylor or UConn. I'm honestly not sure yet. I'm not really sure what I want to do yet in college.
Well, and you've got a little time. Do you think you would still be able to play football in college, or would you be content to move toward some of the more female traditional sports if you were able to play sports in college?
In college, I would probably stick to basketball and kind of go from there.
Okay. Now, how tall are you?
I'm only 5'4". I'm not that tall.
Wow, but you've got an arm on you, young lady.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is so awesome. Now, how long have you been doing, you said, your veterans program again?
It's been going on for about a year and a half now.
Okay.
Well, that is so awesome. And thank you also, again, for all of the social media support with the contest. And do you have any special shout-outs that you want to mention?
I want to thank my team, definitely, for everything that they have helped me with. I really want to thank all my coaches. And I just want to thank my friends and my family and really everyone that just supported me through this whole competition and really through this whole football career. It's really been a blessing.
That is so awesome. Oscar, Erica, was there anything else that you guys wanted to add?
Well, I wanted to tell Carly that we really appreciate her helping us out with supporting the project and, you know, obviously helping us out with our branding, and we're more than happy to help her out in any other endeavor going forward. So you can always count on us to support you in any type of, you know, support that you need. And you can always touch base
with
us. You can always come on the radio for anything. If you want to promote anything, just give us a ring, and we'd be more than happy to set that up and spread the word for anything that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Definitely. Erica?
Yeah, so I was curious, if you win the trip to go to the Super Bowl, what are your plans? Who are you going to go with? And I'm kind of curious just if you've made those plans yet.
When I go to the Super Bowl, my plans are really just to take in all the experience and really realize how grateful I am that I went to the Super Bowl. And I do have 4 tickets, so it would be me, my mom, my dad, and the 4th ticket I haven't decided yet.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of fun, kind of a nice family vacation, really. Are you an only child?
No, I have 2 older brothers.
Okay. Are they buying for that last ticket? Are they trying?
They were, and then they kind of wanted it to be my choice of who I wanted to take if I were to win. So.
Okay. I was going to say, are they trying to wait on you hand and foot to see if you'll pick them?
Or what about your teammates? Are any of them trying to go?
I haven't heard anything like that from them.
As I know, I would be trying to ride.
That makes 3 of us, I think.
I know. Yeah. I was like, Carly, my girl. I know you've got the ticket. I know you want to take me. Well, listen, again, Carly, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really and truly have had a great time talking with you, chatting with you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck. And I'm going to go ahead and give out that website one more time just to try to make sure we don't forget. Visit today, www.togetherwemakefootball.com/vote. And, again, please help Carly go to the big game so she can have that nice family trip as well as the opportunity, you know, to see the Super Bowl live and in person, because we do make football. Together we are football, all of us together. And, Carly, we are so proud of you and all that you have accomplished.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you
so much for joining us.
Yeah, Carly, you're a big inspiration to a lot of girls internationally, too. So keep going and doing your thing.
Thank you so much.
And thank you again for joining us today.
Can you tell everyone where to find you on social media and your store website? I visited it today, and it's so cool. I just love your store website. Can you give everybody all that information?
For my apparel website, it's cardiobycarly.com. And the way you spell cardio is K-A-R-D-O, by Carly.
Okay.
.com.
Okay. Great. And we want to remind everybody that a portion of all her sales do go to benefit the veterans, the injured veterans. So, It's a great. I was on there today. You guys need to go check it out. She has adorable stuff on there, so make sure you go visit. Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am. My Twitter is Carly Harman. It's K-A-R-L-I-E-H-A-R-M-A-N.
Great. Very. So I expect we'll – oh, go ahead.
I also have an Instagram if you want that.
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Of course you Instagram. Yes, please.
My Instagram is Carly Harmon, but at the end of Harmon, there's two N's. So it's K-A-R-L-I-E-H-A-R-M-A-N-N.
Well, Carly, I want to thank you, and please give a big thank you to your mom for helping us out with, you know, helping you out with the project and stuff. And I know you had over 22,000 votes, so I don't know what the votes are today, but we are rooting, all of us here, and obviously all our followers are rooting you on to see if you can win that big, the big trip.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again. That was Carly Harmon, everybody, for joining us again today. And again, remember, please go vote so that you can help Carly get to the big game. So now it is time to go to our wild card weekend. I know we talked about it a little bit in the beginning, but time to talk conference scenarios. The Cowboys pulled it off, and we actually won 24-20 over the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I knew that that was going to be a painful result for a lot of Lions fans. I don't know if you guys were watching. I was tweeting a lot, you know, one pride, one Lion pride, but kind of the same scenario as the Bengals. They started off, you know, the Lions, it's been, I don't know how many, it's Bengals 24 consecutive losses in a playoff game. And the Lions haven't won in forever long, so
like 21, I think.
Yeah.
No, well, the
so
last time they actually
just,
won was against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it was just so hard to root them. They had to play a perfect game, and given Dallas didn't play a great game for three quarters, but the reality is they have a lot of more playmakers on one side of the ball, and once they get going, it's just pretty tough. Even with all the mistakes that they were making early on, it just seems like Detroit defensively they were a stout today, but offensively they played decent, but not enough to punch it in. They weren't as daring, even though with Reggie Bush running the ball as well as he did, he still was lacking the finishing touch. And when you can't put away a team like Dallas, you let them linger, they're going to come back. They got too many playmakers for them not to overcome.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't sure we were going to come back, and I'll tell you why. This is the flattest the Cowboys have looked coming out of a game in so long. And additionally, except for that game against the Rams, Dallas really and truly is not built to be a comeback team. And I think the only reason why they were able to come back was, truthfully, was the great play of the defense. They had so many fabulous turnovers, and they were able to stop one. I think there were two really good three and outs. But the Lions' defense was phenomenal. I mean, they had 7 sacks on Tony Romo today that I counted. Now, unless they got some more since we got on air, because I actually tuned out the game, you know, I'm not sure, but I know the last time I counted, there were 7 sacks.
Yeah, it was the big deciding factor. It was just defensively, it was one, you know, I don't want to take anything back from Stafford or Bush, but the reality is, as good as the defense played offensively, they could not punch in more points. And when you play a team, like I said, with Dallas, with a lot of playmakers involved, it only takes a quarter for them to punch in a couple points, and there's the difference.
Yeah, it does.
I think one thing we're gonna be hearing about though is that pass interference call when they threw the flag and they picked it up. We're gonna be hearing about that because, you know, it's a call that should have been made. They threw the flag for a reason. There was pass interference there, and for the ref to pick that flag back up. People are going to wonder, could the Lions have scored on that drive had they called the penalty the way they threw the flag? So
well,
that,
probably
that
the
is
same.
Definitely.
Well, I agree, but I think that they're also going to say the same thing about the fact that, you know, they called the roughing the kicker call on Dallas. And when the yes, he did fall into the Lions kicker, but then the Lions fell into Dallas's kicker, and they didn't call roughing the kicker. So, I mean, that's another one of those situations. I think there was a lot of inconsistencies all the way around.
I think that was one of the biggest crucial points.
But at the same time, you have to take into account, when you throw something and then you retract, you got to question somebody's judgment.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you have seen it before, and flags, sometimes, it's easy to pick them out and say, hey, that decided a game. But the fact of the matter is that neither team played their best football today, and
no.
The Cowboys came out the winners, and that's just, you know, how it happened, and, you know, bad calls on both sides. But I more brought it up because you know Lions fans are going to be mad, and they're going to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, they're going to say, well, Dallas didn't really beat, you know, how people try to find excuses. But,
right.
You know. Dallas was able to move on. Tony Romo finally got his win. He finally got his playoff win.
Well, and I think the other side of it, and that's why I said I agree, I think that there was inconsistencies with the officiating, which is why I also brought up the whole roughing the kicker. And you know, it was a no pass. I mean, it was a no call on that pass interference, just like there was a no call on the kicking. It was really, truly, you know, bad playing, bad officiating. So I definitely think that those are going to be points of contention, and it's going to be on both sides. I think that is why I have to say, yes, it's clear I don't hide my biases as a Dallas Cowboys fan. However, I recognize and respect excellence, and I respect the game first, you know. But, you know, I'm a fan, but I respect the game first. And I really and truly, until the last 5 minutes of this game, I could see very little wrong with Matthew Stafford. He truly played an excellent game. He was in control. He was passing the ball. In addition to pass, not just passing the ball, but Matthew Stafford was also making great plays, hitting multiple receivers. Matthew Stafford today threw for 323 yards. That's huge.
Wow.
And he only had
yeah.
one interception.
Yeah,
so
I
that's
think the biggest story for the Lions is the coaching change, which they look like the Colts of two seasons ago, and
mm-hmm.
that's going to be the key for them going forward. I think they have very good, solid coaching now, and
mm-hmm.
if they get in the playoffs this year, they have a team, I think, given some pieces that they have in place. They have Golden Tate. They got Megatron.
Yeah.
You got a good defensive line. They'll be back. So I think
yeah.
the key in Detroit now is the fans can feel happy that the coaching regime seems very stable and football ready. And they're able to put the players that they have in place now. You can see it from week to week as it progressed into the playoffs. To your point today, you saw the evolution of a better team. When you get beat by 3 points by Dallas, it just seems like you've arrived. So it looks to me like Detroit, a pretty solid team going forward into 2015.
Right. And if they can figure out what to do with Ndamukong Suh and keep him from creating the crazy penalties, they still have a legitimate weapon in him on defense because Ndamukong Suh had two huge back-to-back sacks on Tony Romo. Forcing Dallas to kick a field goal, which surprised it was a 50-something-yard field goal. And considering that Dan Bailey had already missed a 30-something, that one was the one that really started putting the Cowboys back in the game was that field goal because it got them within three. But the reality, again, is Ndamukong Suh had those two huge back-to-back sacks. And that is still a formidable weapon to have on your defense. You just have to be able to have him not cost you penalties, you know, with poor decision-making.
Yeah.
but he's
yeah, but I think
like,
today
yeah,
overall, today overall defensively they played a better game. So if you took him away from everything, they did play a better game off defensively. I mean that goal stand at the end, even before Murray punched in that touchdown, they stood tall for three downs almost, and until they broke over. And so that showed their heart. They showed that they're ready to play. When you get a good goal stand up at that 1 yard line, 2 yard line, and you're not letting them score easily, even though Murray's talented, that was just a break that they got on the right side. They just kind of broke down on that side on that play. But overall, they stood tall for three downs. So that's got to show you a little bit about what they're about going into next season.
Absolutely. And I think Jim Caldwell is actually a very good coach. I think that he just got a bad break that year in Indy when Peyton Manning was hurt and missed the season with that neck injury.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like Jim is going to be a solid foundation for them going forward. And the NFC division that they're in, what they're in right now, you got Green Bay really the staple, and then you have the Bears rebuilding with the shuffling. Minnesota,
right.
We have no idea where they're going to go next season. So
no.
they're in good position to be 1-2. So if behind Aaron Rodgers, that's a good place to be if you're Detroit.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, that actually reminds me, that's a perfect segue since you mentioned the Bears and, all their inconsistencies. We didn't even let's segue just for a second away from the wild card game and segue to what we actually did not talk about, which is huge, Black Monday. Were there any surprises with you guys this year? I mean, Erica, you've called Rex Ryan from the jump. Eric has called Mark Trestman. So we knew you two have literally called those, all season. But what do you think about Mike Smith? And then, of course, we broke the Jim Harbaugh, last week on the show. Mike Smith kind of got me. I don't think I was expecting that one. I really was expecting Jay Gruden. I did not expect Mike Smith.
The Mike Smith thing didn't surprise me, to be honest. Atlanta's been inconsistent. I mean, the problem with Atlanta, I think, is that has everybody kind of scratching their heads is that they have the talent. Matt Ryan is a good quarterback. He's got weapons. There's obviously some issues on the offensive line, and, they could use a better defense. But, it's kind of like, what is Mike Smith not doing in Atlanta that they can't win more than, what did they win this year? 5 games or so? I mean, they didn't win very many.
I was going to say last season they were 4-12, and this season they were 6-10.
Oh, 6. Okay, so they won 6 games, but still, I mean, they should be winning more. And so the Mike Smith thing didn't really surprise me. Black Monday didn't surprise me a whole lot, to be honest. I was wondering about the Panthers' coach because of I guess they got into the playoffs and obviously they're moving on. But so that actually we had talked about that earlier in the season, not now. So not the Panthers' coach. I was thinking of somebody else. But weren't a lot of surprises last Monday.
Oscar?
I think the biggest surprise was probably the drama with Harbaugh. But, overall we already knew he was gone. The surprising thing that would keep a Niner fan really angry until they hire a coach is just the fact of the way the press conference went. It was very dry, very non-caring. It was like, okay, just, boot this guy out, fine, have him go take his money. We're going to move on to better things. And reality is you're not moving on to better things until you come up with somebody that's going to take you back to where this guy took you 2 years ago. And that's going to be the big question into 2015. San Francisco is, where do you stand? You got Seattle is pretty tough. The Rams are up and coming. Arizona, as soon as they get their quarterback situation resolved, Bruce Arians is a very good coach. Potential good quality the teams that are up on the up and up. Panthers, for me, I think the reality in Atlanta was you played in a weak division. You were in the playoff hunt 2 years before that, and somehow this year you lay an egg. And I think that was the last straw for management. It's like you play in a weak division. How can you not, you know, after 2 years of success, not come back and stronger? And I think Mike Smith lacked a lot of things in the sense, but overall you also have to take into account Atlanta had injuries upon injuries from last season and coming into this season. So they were not a healthy club to begin with, and it sort of showed. But overall, the division, we already knew. We talked about it before, and you guys have discussed it at long length. That division right there with the Panthers, you know, winning it out, it's kind of a weak division. And unless the Panthers surprise like Seahawks did before, it's going to show that obviously they weren't – none of those teams are ready technically and healthy the whole season.
Well, and I think that while we have talked about it at length, I still think it's a surprise to see how fast and how quickly the NFC South has fallen off. Because if you remember, it was barely three seasons ago, they were one game away from the Super Bowl. And I think that that was, you know, and I was just totally floored that they did not go that year. But, yeah, they made it to, what, the NFC Championship. And then the following year to come back with a 4-and-something season. And then, you know, and then Tony Gonzalez retires. And then this season, you know, 6-and-10 record. And, you know, so they're between the Atlanta Falcons doing poorly, the Saints, you know, doing so poorly. And even the Panthers, because I think two seasons ago, all three teams, I think at one point were all in the playoff hunt. But, I mean, it's really fast and sad how fast that division has totally fallen off. We definitely talked about it with Mark Trestman and the Bears, you know, two seasons in, 8-8 in his first season. And then this year he was 5-11. And the fact that with Lovie Smith last season in Chicago, they were still 10-6. So even with Lovie Smith, he continually kept that team in the playoffs or right there one game out of the playoffs. So the question, though, is that how poorly Chicago was run. I mean, you know, the cold comments and, you know, about your quarterback and things like that. And then, you know, you're just hearing all of the rumblings and unhappiness, you know, within the team. I think Mike Smith and Rex Ryan have a better chance of getting picked up again by another team next year. You know, whereas
there's no doubt Mike Smith is not a good coach. That's not even a doubt. The question is, you know, when you're in a success league and you have to bring in wins, and you have to be successful in a manner where you make a playoff run or you're consistently doing great. So take into account Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. I mean, he's been out of the playoffs 4 consecutive times, but he's put up 10 wins or more. The management team in Cincinnati just feels that this coach can still deliver playoff quality football. But if you were in New England, Marvin Lewis would be gone. If you're in San Francisco, he would be gone. You know, if you're in Chicago, he'd be gone. It's just the difference is management standards. Each team has a certain standard they have to live up to. And for Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis is okay because Marvin Lewis takes us to the promised land. And hopefully next year we'll give him a couple more pieces and he might get over the hump. But, you know, in reality, that wouldn't work in other places. It won't work in Dallas. You know what I mean? If you don't get to the playoffs in Dallas consistently, you're done. If you don't put up a double-digit win, you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is you have to take into account the market that they're in and the fan base and the demands of the fan base. And a lot of times Cincinnati isn't considered a major market. So they're okay with it. But you put New England up there, it's Boston, they demand a winner. You know, if Belichick flops in 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row, whatever was before that, probably not going to be taken into account. You know what I mean? It's just the way the business is. But if he consistently puts you at the division championship and consistently gets you a playoff run, then it's overlooked. okay, it's a bad season, but we still got double digits. We still, the fan base is still happy. We made the playoffs. But you lose and do not make the playoffs, totally different ballgame. And that's where I think a lot of people don't understand is the market dictates whether the coach stays or not. And then obviously a lot of big factors. In, you know, Eric's talked about big factors before, which is injuries. Then you have, like you said, and Kishi in Chicago, which is drama in the background, in the locker room. So a lot of those factors are negative, and those negative factors, just a little bit of a tilt, and somebody just pulls the plug on you and they go, you're done. We're going in a different direction.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. I think that it's, you know, I mean, well, you have to even look at the 49ers, like you were saying. You know, it really truly is about management, because here you have the exact opposite situation in, you know, San Francisco, where you have a coach who has not only consistently gotten you to the playoffs in the past 5 years, gotten you to a Super Bowl, and gotten you to two NFC championship games. And yet, after 5 years, he's gone. You know, whereas other people and other teams would be falling over themselves, you know, to have.
Yeah, but I think Harbaugh's personality is a three and done. And I think he's more suited for college to begin with.
Right.
I honestly just think he's more suited for a short-term stay, not a long-term. I mean, he will be no Belichick. In other words, you know, Belichick is comfort zone, and until something else tilts over, you know, he's going to stay there. Harbaugh, I think he's just more suited for the college game because I think you guys have talked it before. The personnel, and Eric's talked about it, the level of professionalism in professional football is these are all businessmen. They're not college kids that get told what to do. They all have business sense. And to them, it's like, it doesn't matter if you move a coach out because I still got my contract and my money coming next year. So it's going to be a new scheme, new setup, new things to learn. So that's fine. So they're fine with that. But when you're on a losing streak and you're not getting the plays you want and there's a lot of dollars on the line in terms of catches, in terms of how much runs and how many yards, all that fans don't take into account, but there is structured contracts where every player has a certain amount of output that they have to meet in order for them to garner something for their intake. So it's a totally different ball game for a coach. It's not like in college where you can come in and recruit and then figure out, oh, by the way, you're on my team and I'm cutting you. Well, you can't cut somebody on an NFL team so easily because then you get into legal matters. So, basically the coaching in the NFL is on thin ice. You're either very successful and you know how to balance that trampoline or that, you know, that wire. Otherwise, you're done, just like Mike Smith in Atlanta. But, you know, Ron Rivera in Carolina, poor division, he gets a break. So that's really the end result.
That's what they were saying, too, that had the Falcons beaten Carolina, we may not be having this conversation about him. But then again, remember, Ron Rivera was also on the hot seat as well. But now, here's another thing, which is also, since you've talked about something that's really critical, you're talking about your city, you know, you're talking about where does the team play. I also think there's something that also is said for consistency, because truthfully, fans were screaming for Jason Garrett's head 2 years ago. But the fact is, despite the fact that we had that 4 years of 8-8, I still choke on that. But that's something, you know, where I'm like, wow, Jerry Jones still has him there. Because, you know, like what you were saying, that 8-8, but you haven't made it to the playoffs, whereas at least Mike Smith has gotten the Falcons in the playoffs, except for the past 2 years, you know. So I think that it really does matter where your fan base is, where you're, you know, where do you play. I think all of those really and truly are critical factors. I'm going to jump to another game really quickly. You know, speaking of 8-8 and where you play, and moving back to the wild card games, because this, you made me think about something, Oscar. Erica, when you guys play the Ravens, you know, next week, what do you think about how that game is going to go? Because we are playing, it's the other Harbaugh brother, and I know that is a really intense rivalry between those two teams. What do you see as the strengths and weaknesses of both those coaches as well as the your two different quarterbacks? Because they're both greatly different, but Flacco has a better playoff record than Tom Brady in terms of wins, correct?
No, I don't think so. Brady, you mean Flacco has more playoff wins than Brady? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Doesn't Flacco have more playoff wins? I've heard something about that.
I don't think so.
Check it out.
I've never heard that. But, it is. It's a huge rivalry, and the Ravens have knocked the South, and we've knocked them out. It's kind of a back and forth in the AFC, but I read an article today that I thought was pretty good I'm confident that the Patriots can come away with the win. We do have to tread carefully here. This isn't a team you can just be like, we're playing the sixth seed in the AFC. But, this is a different Ravens team that we're facing. They don't have Ed Reed. They don't have Ray Lewis. And, their defense is still, decent. Those two guys gave us a ton of issues in the past. And, our offensive line has been playing better lately, and I think that they can match up well with the defensive line of the Ravens. Our receiving core has and Brady have been clicking really well. The Jets game, I ignore the Bills game because we sat some starters, but the Jets game was off, but we've had an extra week. We are at home. I think that, and our defense has been looking really good. Vince Wilfork up front, and Chandler Jones is back and healthy, and you got Revis. And Joe Flacco isn't, while people want to say he's elite, he's not. And he is somebody that is, that once we rattle him, he will have a tough time in that game. And I think that's what our defense is going to go out there and do. They're going to get lots of pressure. And they're going to try and force the bad throws and rattle him. And like we know, once you rattle a quarterback, it affects the entire team. And so I am confident that the Patriots can move on to the conference championship.
I think the biggest story there is going to be how well New England adjusts to the defensive front. But it just doesn't seem like Baltimore is going to be able to keep up offensively, even with Flacco being, the way he is. Overall, I think the bottom line will be how well of a balanced running game the Patriots will work with. And then you have no question at quarterback in terms of Brady, but you do have a little bit of leeriness on Flacco's side because he can either come out really well or he can be, the Andy Dalton of that game, which is, come up a little bit off as well. So the biggest game I think we have to look forward to is Colts and Broncos, because you have former Colts quarterbacks meeting each other in a playoff format. So the new quarterback in Indianapolis who took over from Peyton Manning versus Peyton Manning, now one step away from a Super Bowl berth again. So will it be luck to beat Peyton Manning at this point? That's I think the biggest matchup in the coming next week is. You take Dallas winning today, and they go to Green Bay. Not going to be a big story there because Aaron Rodgers probably a little better quarterback than Romo overall, but that's why they play the games. You never know. And Seattle against the Panthers. The only thing that will come out of that game for me is if the Panthers somehow muster a win, and they get a big win, because that will be a huge upset. Huge.
Yeah.
Upset.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that will probably be the only upset.
Yeah. The Denver game really, if the Denver team that played the Bengals and lost comes out and plays Indianapolis, Indianapolis will come away with that win because the Broncos have fell very flat the last part of the season. Manning hasn't looked good. And they've had injuries here. Their running game isn't where it's at because of the injuries there. Julius Thomas, I think, Demaryius Thomas, they both were hurt during the season. But the Broncos have looked very flat and off the last part of the season. And if they can't get it together, the Colts didn't play their best game today, but we've seen what Andrew Luck can do. And with T.Y. Hilton and you know, Reggie Wayne and everything they've got going on there, it could be a dangerous game for Denver, and they better be on their best game, or they can definitely find themselves not in the conference championship.
Oh,
I can
absolutely
tell you right now,
agree.
You don't want any Colts fan right now. You know, for any Colts fan, I know if it was me as a Ram fan, you know, taking on, you know, some arch rival. These aren't arch rivals, but they're AFC rivals. But the bottom line is, this kid has been so impressive since he's arrived in Indianapolis to take the torch. But this is his moment to kind of, if he wins and beats Peyton Manning, this is a moment of, you know, an elevated moment, basically, for Andrew Luck. And Chuck Pagano. I mean, think about Chuck Pagano, too. I mean, his road so far. To beat Peyton Manning in a big game and to take yourself to the next, you know, to the conference title, maybe up against Belichick. It's a huge moment. I think that's the bigger story there. The Colts and Broncos is the bigger story in the AFC. Not so much Ravens and Patriots, because you just, like you said, Erica, it's a seesaw back and forth. So the opportunity is there for either of them to come out, depending on who's coming out. But the bigger story is here, you know, is the passing of the torch of one young quarterback and now beating, you know, probably a veteran quarterback, or, you know, obviously Peyton Manning's a great quarterback, so an all-time great, in other words.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, actually, I have to agree with you, Oscar. I agree that it definitely is going to be the bigger story, not only the passing of the torch, but also the fact that Andrew Luck went first overall in the draft. And in all honesty, most of the quarterbacks, or most of the first-round draft picks in the past five seasons, have been less than stellar, and they've even been even more so when it's been the quarterbacks. Because remember when Matthew Stafford went first in his draft, and then he was basically injured for the first 2 years. They started throwing that word bust around, you know, clearly a little premature, because he certainly turned it around. But, you know, even with Alex Smith. But Luck has just come out and said, I'm here, let's play. And I have to agree with you in terms of the stats and the numbers. I think then it will also bring in that factor of, and I know people really maybe do this comment or this conversation may have a little bit of overkill, but that's still Peyton Manning in cold weather. And I really think people downplay what it means to have that cold weather affect you. And can Peyton Manning keep up in the cold when his muscles start to get stiff and the joints start to get stiff, and he's playing in a cold weather city at night, and he's, you know, further into the playoffs? If you guys had your choice, who would you rather see in the AFC conference final? Would you rather see the Broncos and the Patriots again for another Manning Brady Bowl, or would you rather see the Broncos and the Ravens battle it out again, or the Colts and the Patriots? Because I don't really see the Colts and the Ravens.
No, I mean, I honestly, the Patriots fan, I want to face the Broncos. They beat us last year in the AFC Championship, and I want another go at them. And if I used to hear one more Broncos fan make one more comment, I live in Broncos country, and let me tell you right now, I would love to have that win. And so I'd like to see, and I don't want the media coverage of the whole Manning versus Brady, because I tell you, as a Patriots fan, that is one of the most obnoxious things possible. But I want another go at Denver in the AFC Championship for sure.
Okay.
My two cents to this whole thing is, let's get lucky and take out Peyton, and let's get lucky and take out Brady, and let's get lucky and win it all. Because that's going to be left all the way across.
Okay,
no,
so you want the Colts to win it all.
It's his moment. If he can take out Peyton Manning, and it's going to be tough to take out Tom Brady and Belichick, but if he can do it, it's very impressive. In a 1 year setup, to Erica's point, of course Erica wants another beatdown of Peyton, you know, a revenge mode, and take a beatdown and beat him down once again. But I think the reality is Luck is going to be, Luck, I think it's impressive, and if he can somehow muster and beat Denver, then he faces another icon. And can he beat two icons in the same season? And that'll be the story.
That's true. Well,
we played this season, and it didn't go down well for them.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is now it's playoff crunch time, so it's going to be, you know, whether he can do both. It's going to be tough.
Don't be jinxing my team,
don't get me wrong,
Oscar. Don't be jinxing
I'm not jinxing your team. I'm just saying that it's your quarterback is so good. It's going to take a lot. If he can beat Manning is beatable. We've all known that. Manning is beatable. He's not very mobile. If he doesn't have the front support to give him the time to throw and to do that, he's beatable. Andrew Luck is a totally different quarterback. We're looking at Russell Wilson in a slower mode. Andrew Luck, if the pocket opens up, the holes are there, he runs. He can run. He can get you some yardage. He can escape. You know what I'm saying? But Manning is used to being so contained in the pocket that when
he's
it collapses and you take him out of his timing, look at the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is a perfect example of how Seattle just completely wrapped his hands, tied him down, and strapped him. And they were not able to do anything. And it was all because of timing. Pressure, initial pressure, timing where he couldn't get the reads, could not get to see anything. And so Seattle has shown, if you take that tape, Seattle has the formula for how to beat Peyton Manning. It's a pretty simple formula.
Yeah.
But it's tough to do. But you can beat Peyton Manning.
That's because he's so methodical. I mean, everybody talks about he's a machine. You're right. He is a machine. He is methodical. But that also means that machines also, to some degree, are not reactionary. You know, there has to be that. Everything has to be in place. Everything has to be in place. And when you throw that off, then it doesn't work. I actually would like to see the Cowboys go up against the Seahawks again. And I would like to see us go up against them in the playoffs and beat them. And that for me would be huge because, you know.
So, Keisha, I will tell you right now, don't take it the wrong way. Are you on vodka right now? Because if you are. It's a far away trip right now.
I don't have any.
I'm just kidding.
Wine.
I'm kidding. If you beat Aaron Rodgers, that's going to be like you're talking about. It's a big hurdle. But if you can beat Aaron Rodgers, the potential to beat Russell Wilson is also there, because it's a big game. In other words, it's no different than Andrew Luck trying to beat Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. It's going to be the story for you and your team will be. Not necessarily Romo, but can they put the pieces together around Romo? See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's the only way they're winning right now. Is if they rely on the quarterback, they're not winning. But you put together Dez Bryant, you put together DeMarco Murray, in the scheme of things with the balance attack, yes, Dallas has an opportunity. Green Bay has looked very prone. They don't look, impressive. So there's an opportunity there for them to pull a win out. In other words,
we have to fight. And realistically, there's three people we have to beat when we go to Green Bay next week. We have to beat Aaron Rodgers. We have to beat the offensive line has got to figure out a way to contain Clay Matthews, and our defense has got to figure out a way how to control Jordy Nelson, because. Jordy Nelson reminds me so much of Witten and that not only can he catch the ball, but he has really good yards after the catch. Because Jordy Nelson is fast. He is fast, and he's got some speed. And he has his way of just beating his coverage. And, it's like he not only is in sync with Aaron Rodgers, but then he sees where the defensive coverage is, and he just has his way of putting himself to give himself enough distance between the coverage, so that he has time to catch the ball to give him those extra yards after the catch. And I think that we can be – those are our three, criticals. Yes, there's a few players on the run, but really and truly that's where it's going to be for us is – does our defense have what it takes to control and to be able to contain Jordy Nelson and also to be able to get to Aaron Rodgers? Because Aaron Rodgers
is like Peyton Manning in that regard, in that he has to have his timing. And if our defense is able to collapse the pocket, you can throw off his timing, because once Aaron Rodgers gets agitated, it's enough to kind of throw him off. So I definitely think that those, you know, are beatable, but you also got to be able to contain Clay Matthews, and Clay Matthews is just a monster all over the place, and an absolute monster on the field. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, so that's kind of where we're at.
The storyline, I think, really has to be, you know, if we take the AFC as we're talking right now, and I know as much as Erica would not like to be bounced off, but if we do take the storyline with the feel-good moment, which is Andrew Luck going all the way to the Super Bowl, a huge obstacle there. We take the feel-good story in Dallas on the NFC side, which, you know, they will have to piece it together very well in order for him to overcome Rodgers and Wilson. It's just really that's how it's going to have to be, because they're going to have to play the two best games, one in the cold and one up there in Century Field. And, you know, two hostile road games, they're going to have to beat. The Ravens are not intimidated by the Patriots, I can tell you that right now, as Erica has pointed out. Patriots not intimidated by the Ravens. There's no intimidation there. They play in the same conference. They've played in the same, you know, setup. But, you know, the bottom line is Denver versus Indianapolis is the bigger story. Whoever comes out of there, it becomes a big factor for that. I think reality for me, if I had to pick a winner right now, I think Dallas somehow gets by in Green Bay, but they don't get by in Seattle. So it would be they lose in Seattle technically. And I could be wrong, but I have this gut feeling that Carolina is going to play the biggest game of their lives against Seattle, and they just might pull out that victory. They just might, because it's anybody's ball game.
I don't know if Carolina
has enough. You have to throw the record out the door at this point. You throw that record out the door.
Right.
When you get to the playoffs, whatever you did, 7-8 doesn't count. Doesn't matter. There's no matter there anymore. You could have been a lousy team for 16 weeks. As long as you can be a great team for three more games, that's your chance.
Right. Well, I think that I don't know about Seattle, just because I think that their defense is clicking right now. That's such a, I mean, they've gotten their weapons back, and they found their rhythm, they found their stride, and they found that, you know, intangible thing that makes them the sonic boom. Now, the boom isn't as loud as it was last year, you know, but it's still enough to make some noise. And I'm just not sure that Carolina is strong enough to hold up. And we saw, you know, even still on Sunday, that Arizona was able to get to Cam Newton. And to be able to win, they are going to have to keep Cam upright on his feet, and they're going to have to be able to keep the pocket open long enough for him to either, A, make plays so that he can pass the ball, or to open up the pocket for him to run, which I really just advise him not to do if he doesn't have to, because of the fact that, you know, the one wrong hit, you know, and he's, you know, because he is still recuperating. So I agree with you. I think that at the end of the day, the stories next week really and truly are going to be the Colts and the Broncos, and I would still venture to say the Cowboys and the Packers. Well, it's almost time to close out, but before we do have to go back to the women's game. Because we definitely have to.
Why don't we go, and Kishi, why don't we talk about the college game? Because we had the two bowl games that we didn't talk about. So let's talk about this. The Nicole Brown Ducks, if you want to say that now, somehow came to the party. Nicole Brown's Ducks came to the party and put an ass whipping, so you can bleep me if you want. Ass whipping on the Florida State Seminoles. What an ungrateful team. I mean, the coaching staff was just, I don't understand Florida State. No handshake, no glorious victory. You know, I mean, just what were they doing? What were they thinking? That's really what I was looking at. I was like, you got to beat down. The least you can do in humility is go back out there and shake somebody's hand and say, thanks for the ass whipping you gave me today. I appreciate that. No. You know, they don't do it. So, you know, hats off to the Ducks. If it was me, I would have given the middle finger right across the field and said, you know, go back to Florida.
But in reality,
I think the committee got it right. That's all we have to say now.
Right. Well, I also say that, and I'll say this before Erica jumps in, only because, Erica, I know how you feel about Florida State, and I'm going to commend you in advance and say you called it right. You not only have had issue all season with Jameis Winston, but you've also had issue with the coaching staff and how they have continually coddled, stood up, stood behind, and protected and babysat. And now we can see, you know, because at the end of the day, we talked about Harbaugh being a college coach. At the end of the day, the college team is no better than their leader. And their leader, while, yes, you have your quarterback, at the end of the day, in college, your leader is still your coach. And you are going to follow the lead of your coach. And if that is the way your coach is leading, then absolutely. I think the other reason why Florida State got the beatdown that they got was everybody talked about this fall season. They really and truly had not played a strong team. They had a weak schedule, and they'd had a weak schedule. Oh, and they'd had a weak schedule. And now they really and truly found themselves up against a team that was not weak, that was strong, that was bigger, faster, stronger, better. You know, we can rebuild it. You know, and they were able to maintain whatever Chip Kelly put in place. They were able to maintain that in the 2 years since he's left. And I think that that is key to how and why Florida State got the butt-whipping they got. Now, I just want to say one thing. I actually did say last week, I want to go on record and say that I did say, what about Ohio State? Because when Erica and I were talking, everybody thought it was going to be Bama, and I put up my little hand and said, well, what about Ohio State? I said, you know, I did go to Akron, so I had to ask the question, what were their chances and could they pull off the upset? And they did it. So I have to say hats off to the Buckeyes, hats off to Ohio State, and congrats to Oregon, because this is not the matchup that everybody wanted. They did not want Oregon and Ohio State. They wanted Oregon and Bama. So hats off to Ohio State for their huge upset and all of this. Okay, Erica?
Well, yeah, I mean, the issues with Florida State, obviously, I have been very vocal about it all season. Like Oscar mentioned, the fact that they didn't go and shake hands, the team went to the locker room. Jameis Winston did shake Marcus Mariota's hand. But, you know, you see that the root of this issue starts with the coaching staff. The reason why Jameis Winston behaves the way he does, because they allow it, is because that team is a bunch of spoiled, you know, babies who they don't, you know, like you said, Keisha, they did play a weak schedule. The only reason they were ranked the way they did coming in here, the only reason is they had that, you know, they called it that 28-29 game win streak. Well, if you had actually played someone, then, you know, maybe, you know, they probably wouldn't have that win streak. They could not, the speed of the Oregon Ducks team, there's no way Florida State could match that, and they couldn't keep up. The defense was absolutely out of breath. They could not, I mean, it took Marcus Mariota from the time that one play ended to the time he snapped the ball, on average, it took anywhere from 12 to 15 seconds. That's 12 to 15 seconds that the Florida State defense had to get reset, and they were out of shape. And to me, an out of shape football team means what was the coaching doing? What you're above all, your team should be in shape. I mean, that's the point. Is they are athletes, they are collegiate athletes, and they absolutely cannot keep up. And I loved it. I loved seeing. I love the Oregon Ducks, and I loved seeing. It really was like the good versus evil quarterback to me. And I loved seeing Mariota come out with a win. And you know, I watched the Alabama Ohio State game, and Ohio State came out a lot stronger than I thought they would. You know, they had Alabama's number and they called it. And you're right, Keisha. People really underestimated Ohio State going in there. And you know, the reason why I wanted the Oregon-Alabama matchup, to be honest, is because I'm so tired of hearing that the SEC is the superior conference in football. And if Oregon would have played Alabama and beat them, we could finally say, okay, in a true playoff system, the SEC does not reign supreme. while they obviously didn't get there, which shows that, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 in the first true playoff matchup are what get to go to the national championship. We don't have a computer or anybody else's opinions calling this thing, and the SEC is not in the national championship. And I just
you gotta give it to the committee right now. Like I said, you gotta give them props because you take that one ball game, just take Florida State, Oregon, you take the third quarter, you get your butt whipped 27-7 in one quarter.
Mm-hmm.
27 points unanswered.
Right.
Technically almost 20-something points unanswered, and then you get shut out in the fourth quarter. Hashtag embarrassment.
Yeah.
Put your hoodie on and walk away like a little baby. West Coast bias no more, as they say. So, it truly proved that. Alabama, Ohio State, closer game. I think you were coming into that game. Everybody was coming into that game with the did Ohio deserve to be even considered as a number four seed? And you got your answer. And they got to beat Nick Saban. To me,
mm-hmm.
Nick Saban is probably the most overrated quarterback in a poll setting. And now we know why he was overrated in a poll setting. And now in a playoff setting, guess what? You're back to the NFL when you're with Miami. You're not relevant.
Well, but now you also have to think about this, too, that's so huge about Ohio State beating, is the fact that you have Ohio State's on their third quarterback. I mean, this young man, prior to playing Nick Saban, has only played two games.
Yeah, that's my point. That's what I'm saying to you. It's like you put this team in a sitting. What was everybody talking before this whole thing got scaled into four teams? Does Ohio deserve to be there because obviously they didn't have a stable leader? Well, the reality is the system makes the quarterback, and a third string quarterback just beat the what you call the juggernaut of the ACC, the Alabama Tide. So technically, you don't need a big name quarterback to beat the Alabama Tide, as it's proven now. You just need a system with some good quality team play. And to granted, you know, I'm not degrading Alabama because they're a great team, and they put up 35 points to 42. So it wasn't like they laid down just the Seminoles. You know, they played their heart out till the end. They just came up short, but they were competitive in every quarter. I think if you go back to the stats, they were basically one touchdown per quarter. So it wasn't like they were getting their butt whipped. You know what I mean?
No.
They were very competitive.
Yeah.
So that game, you know, I got to give the Crimson Tide, you know, props for staying neck and neck with the Buckeyes, but you still got to give Ohio State the credit because, like to Erica's point, you know, they didn't have the underman. I mean, the big name, flashy quarterback, and you still come out in a winner. So that's a huge win.
And again, that was a classic case of the underdog team coming out and winning. And so now I'm truly looking forward to the Ohio State-Oregon game. And I think it's going to be really interesting to watch these two high-flying offenses play. And so, yes, I am actually going to watch the game. Yay, go Kishi. You're proud of me. So I will definitely be watching the game next week, Monday. And so I'm excited about that. But I definitely have to get us to giving the information about the tryouts and the dates for the women's game. So to stay up to date on the women's games and the tryouts in North America and in Europe, you got to follow Gridiron Beauty, that's us, on Twitter for the latest updates, plus the Women's World Games in January. So follow USA Football for updates. And then go to the USA Football site and search for the Women's tab for more details about the Women's World Game. Also follow the Australia Women's Off-Season Updates and keep up to date on the latest Gridiron Victoria, Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales information by following at Women's Gridiron on Twitter and go to their website at www.wglaus.com for cool features and past stories. Now, moving down to Mexico, we want everyone to follow the ladies at at FXF_Mexico. And again, the Twitter handle is at FXF_Mexico on Twitter and FXF Female Extreme Football on Facebook. Again, that's FXF Female Extreme Football on Facebook, and you can stay up to date with everything that's happening in the off-season down in Mexico. Another Twitter handle to follow is LIBFOFICIAL, Lib Official, and that's another one of our Mexican teams, and more upcoming all-star events in Mexico by following them on Twitter. And finally, the tryouts for North America are now on. So, ladies, if you want to play football and you think you are the next adult version of Carly Harmon and you're here in the USA, then follow at Backseat Coach on Twitter. Also, you can go to at WFA Football, at IWFL. Go to at WSFL Football, at MyLFL, and also you can go to Twitter handle at SSFL Football. Again, those are the different Twitter handles that you can use to keep up with what's happening here in America to try out. And for Canada, go to you can follow on Twitter at WWCFL. The other Twitter handles are at MWFL Football and at CCWFL. So again, those are the four, the three Twitter handles that you can use to keep up with what's happening in Canada. And we want to shout out to our network partners at Twitter. On you can get their Twitter handle, and it is at WFB Talk. Also, shout out to at Miss Gridiron 9 and at GI Queendom for sharing our posts and bringing us timely information on women's tackle football. So that's all the news that we have right now for what's going on in ladies football. And you can follow us on our social sites at Gridiron Beauty or on Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties and on Instagram for Gridiron Beauties. So we definitely want everyone to follow up with us. They keep up with what we're doing and stay tuned to the women's game. Before we get ready to close out, you know, is there anything else that you guys wanted to say? Any last minute thoughts? We'll start with you, Erica.
No, just, you know, check out GridironGirl.org. Check out, you know, Nicole have some stuff up, after the Oregon game. So you definitely want to check that out. It's going to be an exciting week for her, putting stuff up for the national championship and the Rose Bowl win. So definitely be checking that out. I'll have some NFL stuff up on the site. So, you know, definitely just keep an eye on gridirongirl.org and our Twitter at gridirongirl.org.
And don't forget your rant.
And my rant, yes, I'm patiently awaiting the NFL MVP announcement, because if it's not J.J. Watt, oh, you better believe there's going to be a video up on YouTube. If Aaron Rodgers gets it, I'm going to be one mad fan. So just stay tuned, because if it sounds like Aaron Rodgers is going to get it. So just be ready for a video.
Okay, well, I will be ducking over here.
Yeah.
I will definitely be ducking over here. Oscar, anything else that we need to promote? Any other sponsors? Anything I might have missed?
Well, all I got to say is thank you for Carly Harmon, and hopefully she wins. And thank her for making the time with us today on her busy schedule. And we wish her good luck on the final votes for today, and hope she's at the trip to the Super Bowl. And you can always, you know, just go to the project site daily for great deals on the tees and hoodies. And every sale supports another player to support our brand and bring awareness to the women's game. So you go to the shop and tell us what your favorite leggings. Leave your Twitter handle to win a leggings pair of your choice. The best comment will win by January 30th. So hurry. It's easy and free stuff. It's at Zazzle.com/gridironbeauties.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, Oscar, first of all, and again, let me say thank you for joining us. I mean, what better way to start off the new year than to have you on the show with us. Eric, once again, we miss you, and we hope that you will be back next week because your feedback, of course, is always invaluable, because you are an awesome part of this team, and I just love being on this Gridiron Beauty, Gridiron Blitz talk show with you guys. I mean, literally, the three of you, the four of us, totally rock, and So again, Oscar, thank you for being able to join us today. It really means a lot when you're able to get on the show. And I just want to remind everyone that you can catch Erica on her Twitter handle at PatFangirl12, also at Cover3, and her, that's the other Twitter handle, at Cover3. During the NFL season, and again, she mentioned her Are You Kidding rant. You can also catch Eric on Twitter at FitForLife. That's FitForLife, Fit for Life, life with a Y. And I am in Kishi Free, and you can always find me on Twitter at Kishi's Cuties. That's KESHISCUTIES. So, again, thank you, everyone, so much for joining us today on the Gridiron Blitz. This has so been an awesome weekend. It's been a wild weekend, truly, truly been a wild card weekend, and it truly was wild. I mean, the NFL and the college game, I think that I am just jumping up and down, overjoyed. Congrats to all the teams that have made it this far and to the teams that did not win this wild card weekend, and to your fans, we give much respect and congratulations, you know, for your team getting to the playoffs. And we look forward to seeing, you know, what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks when he goes to the big game. And everyone, like Oscar said, help get Carly to the big game. We want Carly to go to the game and really be able to enjoy herself. And, you know, she definitely has earned it, and she is totally why together we make football. So I'm your host, Nkeshi Free, and my other two co-hosts for the night. Go ahead and give your shout-out, and we will get ready to wrap up.
All right. See you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Night.
Bye. Good night.